Good morning and welcome to worship. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Some announcements as we begin. First, our school supply drive will be next week and the following Sunday. You're welcome to bring items. More details are in the July newsletter. Also, keep in your prayers the families of Jenna Kaufman, one of our members who died Friday, as well as the family of Gladys Robinson, mother of Joe Robinson, who died last Thursday. Jenna's service will be a private service tomorrow. Gladys's service will be at 10 a.m. tomorrow at Andrew Chapel United Methodist Church Cemetery in Swansea. At this time, let us begin our worship confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
To you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord. Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow until the harvest, together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord. Gather all God's children in to listen together. Today we hear about wheat and weeds. The weeds that Jesus is talking about that he would have known in his day were sometimes referred to as false wheat, because growing in the same field, the weeds looked so much like real wheat at a distance. It was hard sometimes for people to tell them apart. And that can be true of people as well. Sometimes even those of us who are part of God's family do things that might make it look like we're not part of God's family. Sometimes even though we enjoy the love of Jesus and share that with others, we don't always do a good job of showing kindness and love to others. Sometimes even those in the world who are not part of God's family can be kind and do good things. And today we're reminded that Jesus calls us not only to live as God's people and show kindness and love to others, but also that we are called to look for the good in our neighbors. It's easy sometimes to see the bad things that people do, but we're also called to look for and encourage the good that people do as well. Let us pray. Oh God, you call us to live as your people, to be like good wheat that helps feed others who are in need. And you also call us to look for the good in others, to see others as you see them, in love. Help us to live as your good people and help us to look at others in love as you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a great time of year to get these parables about sowing and fields, about plants and seeds. We're sort of in between the traditional sowing season and harvesting season for many plants, the prime growing season for much of the stuff we try to grow. This is the time of year where, if I can keep enough water on it, my lawn starts to look halfway decent despite the almost 100 degree temperatures. Now, what I told you all last week about my having a little bit of a brown thumb is perfectly true. But occasionally, not as often as I'd like, I do enjoy some decent success growing a lawn. I think I got this skill and interest from my dad. He always had the best lawn in the neighborhood. He took pride in it and he worked hard at it. He was always out in his yard on the lookout for weeds to pull or spray or cut down. My brother and I would often joke about this tendency my dad had, and one Christmas my brother teased, "In order to keep my dad busy all year long, we should go in together and find the biggest bag we could of crabgrass seed and give it to my dad on Christmas morning along with some crabgrass killer. On Christmas morning, we would hand them to him and say, 'Have fun all year long.'" That's what I think of when I think of this parable. I think of crabgrass seed being spread intentionally in a beautiful, pristine lawn. An enemy comes and sows weed seeds at night when everyone is asleep. What kind of a person would do such a thing? My neighbors and I don't need such enemies. We have plenty of weeds to go around without somebody coming and sowing them at night. And how would one, and why would one even go about collecting the seeds of weeds to spread in a neighbor's field? There are some odd things about this parable Jesus shares. I want us to come back to this image of a lush green lawn free of weeds a little bit later. But first, let's establish what Jesus is actually talking about here. Jesus starts this parable by saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed, but an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. It's a weird thing to compare the kingdom of heaven to at first glance. Jesus is communicating something about the nature of the kingdom of heaven to us here. Notice he does not say the world at large may be compared. This parable is not ultimately intended to explain the original presence of evil at work in the world. It is to explain how it is that evil can exist and even seem to thrive in spite of Jesus' coming to proclaim the truth that the kingdom of heaven has come near. If God's good news has been brought to bear on our world with the coming of Jesus, with the coming of his gospel, how is it and why is it that so many weedy, seedy, and sinful people seem to be thriving? People ask that in Jesus' day, and we can see it at work in our world today as well. What sort of kingdom of heaven is this that would allow such behavior to continue unabated? This term, the kingdom of heaven, is that which stands against the kingdoms of this world. Now, Jesus' followers would certainly have known what kingdoms of the world looked like. First and foremost, they knew the Roman Empire. They knew its power and its ways. And here Jesus is introducing them by way of metaphor to a different kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, a realm of God that finds its power and its glory not in following the wisdom and customs of earth, but rather of heaven. This is a reign of God whose logic defies and confounds human ways and human power. If a kingdom of earth, Rome, for example, found weeds growing in amongst its wheat, they'd go in and wipe out the weeds. Jesus says it is not so with the kingdom of heaven. And whenever Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven, we should prepare ourselves for something of a shock. Because the ways of this kingdom, revealed through parables, often surprise us and confound our notions and our human sensibilities. With this parable, like with the parable of the sower last week, Jesus actually explains part of the parable to his disciples directly. As I said last week, this can be very helpful to us, but it can also hold us back from doing the hard work of thinking through the parable. Here, Jesus interprets the parable for the disciples as an allegory. That is, one thing in the parable represents something in the kingdom of heaven. He says, the one who sows is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are angels. That all sounds very straightforward. But notice what remains uninterpreted here. What does Jesus mean by saying this happened when everybody was asleep? Who do the slaves represent? How did the landowner know that an enemy was the one who sowed the seeds? As I asked earlier, why would an enemy take the time to sow weeds in such a way? Why tie the weeds in bundles to be burned? That seems like maybe an unnecessary step. You could probably just pile them up to burn them. What does the barn represent? These are all questions Jesus leaves unanswered to some extent. This is an incomplete allegory. And as I suggested last week, maybe he leaves some things uninterpreted to help spark our interest and help us think more about this kingdom of heaven we're trying to get to know and understand. I hope you will ponder some of these details this week. And as Jesus did, I'm going to leave some of these uninterpreted for you as well to prompt you to do just that. But for now, there are two main things I want us to talk about and two main actions I want to caution us against. First, we must avoid being overzealous like the slaves in this parable. Too many atrocities have been done in the name of the kingdom of heaven over the years when people have asked and often answered affirmatively for themselves, Lord, do you want us to go and gather them? When people of faith look at the evil in the world and take it upon ourselves to rid the world of those who are not like us, bad things can happen. Jesus himself cautions, sometimes you end up hurting the wheat along with the weeds when you try to play judge or harvester for yourself. It is not ultimately for us to decide the fate of the weeds. That will happen in God's time, and Jesus promises there will be a reckoning. The weeds will face justice eventually, but not at the hands of overzealous servants. Now, that being said, the second thing I want to caution us against on the other side is that just because we're not called to be judge over others, just because it's not our job to pluck up all the weeds and rid the world of evil, that does not mean we are called to complete passivity either. It doesn't mean we can stand by complacently and watch as evil ones seek to kill and destroy and harass the weak and the innocent. We're to speak out against this. We're to advocate for those who have no voice. We are to do all the good we can. And we are to live out our baptismal vow to work for justice and peace in all the earth. We are to trust what God says about us. We must trust what God sowed us on this earth to be, good wheat. We are God's choice planting, and though we may feel powerless to stop weeds from growing near us, that does not mean we stop being good wheat for the world. We must be what we are. And returning to that image at the beginning of a lawn, next time you look at the advertisement on the side of a bag of fertilizer or grass seed, next time you read recommendations about having a good lawn, if you do that sort of thing, notice what you'll often see listed. First of all, the best defense against weeds is a healthy, actively growing lawn. Where the good plants are strong and dense and closely knit together, there's less room for the enemy to come and sow weeds. Where plants are well watered and well fed, where plants are pruned as necessary and remain tightly knit with their fellow good plants, there are fewer weeds, and the ones that do pop up can be choked out more easily. That's part of what I urge us toward this day, that we continue to meet together, even at a distance, that we remain closely knit together, that we remind ourselves of the waters of baptism where we were well watered, claimed by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit, where we were called first to be good wheat for the world. We are here to be well fed, to share the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in the meal of Holy Communion. Here we are nourished, fertilized, if you will, so that our roots grow deep in faith and we produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. We live this life of faith actively and vigorously so that the weeds in this world are not going to know what hit them and will not have as much room to grow where God's good planting thrives. We also meet here to be pruned on occasion, to be trained and reminded so that we stay growing toward our heavenly goal, shaped into what God would have us be, not just for ourselves, but also for the sake of the world that God so loves. The best defense against the weeds of this world is a healthy, dense stand of God's own wheat. So we grow together toward our goal. We may not be called to pluck up all the weeds in the world, but we are called to shine like golden wheat, that the world might see the beauty and love of God through us. We are called to grow lush and strong together so that this world might have a few less weeds in it, and the ones that do exist will not seem so bad or invasive next to the sheer beauty God is calling us to show forth. And finally, of course, weed is not just grown for beauty. As much as we love to sing of amber waves of grain, and those are certainly beautiful, truth be told, weed is grown primarily to feed the hungry, And God has put us, God's choice planting in the world in large part to provide for those who hunger, whom we will meet along the way. As we pray often together in one of our post-communion prayers, we ask God to strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Here we share the body of Christ in Holy Communion. Here we are formed into the body of Christ. And here we are led to give ourselves away as the body of Christ, that others may be fed and may know the love and goodness of God through us. Be the wheat of God in the world this week. Shine like gold to all who look for love and beauty and goodness this week. And go this week to satisfy the hunger of those whom God loves, who you will meet on your way this week. Amen. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of the harvest, you sow the good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ into your field. Help your church throughout the world to be both diligent and patient, full of resolve and gentleness, that our witness may be faithful to your intentions. Lord, in your mercy. God of all space and time, your whole creation groans in labor pains, awaiting the gift of new birth. Renew the earth, sky, and sea, so that all your creation experiences freedom from the bondage of decay. Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, teach us your ways that we may walk in your truth. Mend the fabric of the human family now torn apart by our fearful and warring ways. Guide us by your mercy, grace, and steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, you accompany those who suffer and are near to the brokenhearted. Open our hearts to your children who are lonely and abandoned, who feel trapped by despair, and all who suffer in any way, especially those we lift before you at this time. Lord, in your mercy. God of the seasons, in the midst of summer, give us refreshment, renewal, and new opportunities. We pray for the safety of those who travel. We pray for those who cannot take the rest they need. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, those who have died in you shine like the sun in your endless kingdom. We remember with thanksgiving the saints of all times and places and saints close to us, especially our sisters Gladys and Jenna, who now share in your eternal joy. Gather us with them on the day of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace with one another with a wave or by text to someone who cannot be with us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Peace, Christ is with you.